Hey, it's Roll Right Radio. I'm New York Mike. This is a real special edition. I left San Diego for Sturgis yesterday, and I've been doing the podcast so I'd have something to put out there on the road. And I figured, okay, and then I'll be in Sturgis, according to my plan, and go to the Buffalo Chip. The Buffalo Chips invited me in to do my podcast at the Chip. And so that was where I was going. I got down the road as I'm riding yesterday. I'm thinking, wow, this would make a heck of a podcast. I want to re-experience. And people want to go on the ride and know what it feels like. I got to tell you, yesterday was the day. So let me kind of replicate what happened, if I can. I'm going to do the best I can, and we'll see how it comes out. And I think you'll find it interesting. So stay tuned to this special edition of Roll Right Radio about the ride to Sturgis and where it goes. And I might do a little bit each day. But yesterday was a great day. I was planning on leaving early Wednesday morning. And last week I found out about Congressman Daryl Issa giving out these pins. These little Vietnam War pins for anybody who served. And it was a special commemorative pin. And as the congressman said, they authorized it like in, I don't know, 2012. And it took 6 or 8 years for them to actually get it. Now they have it. And so I don't know what goes on in other districts around the country, but I found out just through happenstance that there was going to be an event in Temecula on Monday and Escondido on Tuesday and El Cajon on Wednesday. So when I spoke to the congressman's office and I said, hey, listen, I'll be happy to come up and speak at these events. You know my history and everything else. So anyway, they invited me and I said, well, I'll make Temecula and Escondido. Wednesday, I'm leaving for Sturgis. So I did the event on Monday. It was really fantastic. It was a fantastic event for Vietnam vets. It's like I said, hey, better late than never. I mean, we're not used to being recognized in a nice way like this. This is unusual. You know, you got to remember something. There were hundreds of vets in the room, and not all of them have lived my life or the life of some of you out there who have been involved in, you know, maybe as a, or some kind of an activist and been doing, some guys just came back from Vietnam, took all the shit that we did and just went on with their lives. And then in later years, they just never participated in some of the things we did. And I think they needed to hear some of the things being said, both by the congressman, by some of the other speakers, although there weren't other speakers per se, but, you know, there were people in the room, mayors of the cities and different people like that. So I did Monday and Tuesday, and then I was going to take off on Wednesday. But I was so moved. I said to John Franklin, who was really put this whole thing together, who's running for mayor of Vista, California, I should add. And I called him. I said, look, man, if I'm planning on leaving for Sturgis, but if you guys want me there. And we had this conversation, and when I was done, I said, if Daryl Issa can stand there for 3 days in a row, show up, be there, and then stand there and pin each veteran one at a time and stand for like hours, that it's each one gets his pin or her pin and gets their picture taken with the congressman. And it's an hour. I said, what? If Daryl Issa can do that, surely I could just postpone leaving for Sturgis. Okay. So I made that decision. And when I got to the Ronald Reagan Community Center, which is where this was held in El Cajon, I was so grateful I made that decision. It felt so good. It's great to be recognized as a Vietnam vet, and it's also so important to recognize so many other veterans in the room. So I was glad I did it. It started at 10. They asked me to give the invocation. If you follow my Instagram, I believe it's on there. I know it's on my Facebook page or Roll Right Radio Facebook page. It's out there. And I said, I'm out of here, guys. And I just barreled out of there. Got home, packed, and I'm thinking to myself, it's going to be hot. I mean, it was hot. It was so hot. If I didn't leave at like 6 in the morning to get to Vegas before, I don't know what I was going to do. So I, you know, took my time. I see the temperature, you check things out. It was like 111 degrees in Baker. I'll go, oh my God, okay, how am I going to do this? So I said, well, if I leave at like 3 o'clock, I'll get to Baker around 7. And if I get to Baker around 7, it'll be cooling down, so it'll be fine. And it worked out so well that I went ahead to the award ceremony in El Cajon. I said, yeah, if I didn't do that, I'd be probably in the middle of heat by the time I got to Barstow. So here we are. Everything's working out great, right? Oh, I'll take a zip of soda. So here's the deal. Get on the road. Pack the bike. The only thing I had on was my vest. And I'm out there riding. Petrina had, she put my riding vest, the cool vest, in the fridge. And, you know, when you want to get it cold so it stays cold for a while. And she put a bottle of water in the freezer. So I load the bike up. I got this cooling vest on. I got the water and my little water thing on my handlebars. I'm all set. I get out there and I start riding. And it's pretty hot. Not only was it pretty hot, but because it was 3 o'clock, going up the 15 to the 215, it's bumper to bumper. It's 85, you know, it was up there. And not too bad when you're doing 75, 80 miles an hour. Oh, my God. It wasn't torture, though. It was kind of sort of okay. I mean, it was torture, and that lane splitting sucks. Mile after mile. It's one thing to split lanes for 5 or 10 miles. It's another thing when it's 50. It was just straight on lane splitting all the way up the 15, up the 215, through Riverside. And then you get back on. It just goes that whole route. If you don't know that route, if you could take the 15 straight up and go all the way up on the 15 and then get to the Cajon Pass and then go up to 15 the rest of the way. Or you could take that little detour on the 215, which is also a nice road. And you go on the 215. I'd say you save about 30 miles and at least a half an hour, 40 minutes. So in my experience, it's a lot better to do that. So I did that. Lane split. I'm telling you the whole way. I go through the Riverside thing, and then you get on in the 215 again, and you get past the. And it opened up a little bit as you get to the Cajon Pass, as you get up there, and then you get back on the 15. And you know, now it's like 4 o'clock, a little after 4 o'clock. And I say, okay. And it's still tight. Lane splitting, not as nasty as it was, but it's still 20, 30 miles an hour. As a matter of fact, as I'm going up the Cajon Pass, I see in the right lane is a highway patrol guy. And I'm looking, not a motor cop, just in a patrol car, but a highway patrol. And so I go up and I'm lane splitting, I check. And I looked down and I go, I was doing, you feel like you're flying, but I was doing just under 30 miles an hour. I, oh, yeah, that's no problem. Let's just roll. So kept on going, get all through it. And then all of a sudden, as you get through, you get out there on the 15, I'm going, boy, it's getting hot. Now I'm getting up in high desert and it's hot. And I'm going, well, I want to go to the bar, though. If I don't go to Peggy Sue's Diner, which I didn't plan on going to, but there's a Shell station right there. So you can get off and go to the right to Peggy Sue's, or to the left to go to the Shell station, you gas up, grab some, you know, grab some fresh water and maybe a Gatorade. So as I'm going up and I'm going, woof! From Victorville to Barstow is about 31, 32 miles. You go past Barstow and you get to Peggy Sue's Diner, that's about 10 miles past there. So I figured, yeah, it's about 40 miles from Victorville. So I figured from where I am, 60, 70 miles, yeah, that's a compromise. I got to tell you, it started getting hot. And it's like 4 o'clock or something. I'm getting off in Victorville. And I did. I get off in Victorville. I'm going, wow, it's hot. It was kind of like sneaky hot. But it was hot. And I get off. I get to that Chevron station right there at Roy Rogers. I go inside, get a Gatorade and water. That's the formula, use the head. Take my time, gas up the bike. I don't know how many miles it wasn't. It was nothing from where I was, but I couldn't sustain it. I said, man, it's only going to be 30 or 40 miles to Peggy Sue's. I just had to. Take my time, 15, 20 minutes, call Petrina, check in, get the gas, get back. And I said, okay, let's see how far I get. Well, let me tell you something. I'm going down the road. And I got the water, fresh ice, you know, cold water. And as I'm going down the road, I'm going 8 or 10 miles. And I take that water, I start splashing it on me. Now, by this time, I had taken my vest off because the cold, nice and cold. It was, but that was history. That was long, long gone. Now, it's just hot. So I take it off, and don't get me wrong, it retains the cold. It works. But I don't know the temperature. It had to be in the 90s. I'm telling you, I took that cold water, and not only am I drinking it, but I'm splashing it all over me. Oh, my God. It's hot. I'm hot. I'm feeling it. It's getting hotter by the mile. And I'm just spraying this water all over me. From Victorville to Barstow? That's nothing. There's no traffic now. Once I left Victorville, the roads are wide open. Not even close to lane splitting. We're talking 80 miles an hour, and I'm getting past. So I'm going, whoa, I want to go faster, so I get there sooner. But it's not relieving the heat. Now, normally, when you go a little faster and you get a little bit of a cooling, but when it's that hot, nothing helps. So just going with the flow. I'm trying to relax, and I'm looking at my water bottle. It's not warm yet. It's still a little cool. I'm about halfway there, and you can see the outlet stores are starting to show up 5 miles away or whatever it is. Okay, first you see the outlet stores, then you get to, I think it's Leawood Boulevard, where you usually get off, and there's the Chevron and the Shell station and the Starbucks and all that stuff. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to pass that. And I'm torn between stopping and taking a break and cooling down and going the other 10 miles to that Peggy Sue's diner. I'm going to suck it up because I look at my water bottle. And, hey, I still got half, almost half, well, whatever. But and it's still kind of not hot. It's not cold anymore, but it's not hot either. So I throw it on, boom, spray it all over my face. Right in my face. Drink a little bit, spray a little bit, and I got enough left. 10 miles, no problem. I keep going, and I get to the exit, and I get off, and I don't know, what did I have? 42 miles on the gas. So that's nothing. From Peggy Sue's to Baker is about 60 miles. I get off, I get some water, I get a little more Gatorade. And I just, you know, there's no reason to top it off. I knew I was going to be stopping in Baker. Back on the road. Boom. Get out there. And again, fresh, really cold water. I got a big water. I got the 24-ounce, baby. And I'm thinking to myself, this is going to get bad. Well, I didn't know how bad it was going to get. But it got bad. And I knew Baker showed up at 111 degrees on my iPhone when I checked the weather. Yes, I checked the weather, and I knew that was going to be brutal. I knew it. And I said to myself, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And I also knew that there wasn't much between Barstow and Baker. That 60, 65 miles, it's just open. I think there is a gas station. I remembered this. Before you get to Baker, there's a Shell station. Okay, let's see if I can make that Shell station. Well, I'm on the road. It's brutal. Usually when you ride, you don't look down. A watched pot never boils. If you're going to watch your gas gauge, it's going to drive you nuts. I got my speakers blasting, and it's not 80, 85 miles an hour. It's kind of hard, but I'm okay, and I'm listening to the radio, and it's so hot. And I'm going, I made a mistake. I should have stayed in Barstow. I should have went to Peggy Sue's and just hung out. I should have done something. But what I'm doing is nuts. This is crazy. Now, I've been through heat before. And I think I talked about it when I came back from Washington, D.C., when I got down to St. George. Actually, before then, when you get to Hurricane on the 15, coming down from the 70 onto the 15 into Vegas the other way. And that was so crazy brutal. And I'm thinking to myself, this is worse. I can't imagine it being worse, but it was worse. And one of the reasons it was worse is because I knew that between where I was and Baker, there wasn't anything. But I'm thinking, I know there was that Shell station. I just know it. So I got to tell you, I get on the road and I'm laughing now, but man, I wasn't laughing yesterday, but let me just take you on this ride. It's brutal. And I'm thinking, this could be bad. This could really, I feel pretty strong. You start worrying. You say, man, am I doing something stupid? I mean, your heart, your brain, people get all kinds of things happen. The heat. Now, wait a minute. I had that bottle of water. And believe me, it stayed cold a lot longer than I expected. Not cold, but, you know, it was cold for 15, 20 miles. But it didn't get hot. It was room temperature for quite a bit longer than I probably deserved. Okay, I need to make sure I don't run out of water because, let me tell you, spraying that water, and I got the bottle with the top that flips open, so it's not just flying out, so it's coming through that little nozzle, which is perfect. It's just enough to spray me, cool me down for that minute. I have enough water left, so it's frugal that way. Water frugal. As I'm watching it, because I'm telling you, every 3 or 4 miles, I gotta pick up the water bottle. My biggest worry was, I'm going to run out before Baker. And where in the world is that Shell station? And I said, I know there's a Shell station. I know. I couldn't remember the name of the exit. I'd never been on that exit. As many times as I've gone to Sturgis, that's the route. You go through Vegas up the 15 through Utah. And so I don't know how many times I've done that in the last 35 years. 2-3 times a year, so 100 times. I've passed the exit, whatever that is, that Shell station. But I've never been there. But I know it's there. I just don't know where. And as I'm riding, I'm thinking to myself, I got to keep enough water in this bottle. Because if I didn't have the water to spray on myself and cool me down just that little bit, I don't know if I could have made it. The sun is beating on you. I feel parched. As much as I'm drinking water as well as spray it on me, but at the same time, I'm feeling parched, and I think to myself, wait a minute, it's not my mouth that's parched. It feels parched. It's me. It's all of me. I am so dehydrated that it's bad. And I'm riding, and I don't know how long it took me. It seemed like an eternity because I was really concerned. I was very concerned about my health. I was feeling like this thing's going on inside me that I know that's cooking, man. This is cooking, and it's not healthy, and it's not good, but I got to do this. I've got to be stronger. I mean, it's like in life. I can't tell you how many times you test it. It's not just the military, but the military and everything else in life. You're running. You're going to do 8 to 10 miles, and I hate running. I'm not built for running, but I ran every day of my life. Right up until when I got my heel spurs and shin splints and all the rest of it. But by that time, I was way, way down the road. But, you know, you want to stop, you want to give up. Everything hurts and you can't breathe, but you just push yourself, right? You got to get past it. But at the same time, you're also concerned, am I hurting myself? Am I damaging myself? And I think about reading books by guys like Dave Coggins, the West Point graduate, the former Navy SEAL, who does all these crazy triathlons and all these other things. And if you read his book, You Can't Hurt Me, he just pushes and pushes. Now, look, I'm not trying to compare myself. Don't get me wrong. But you need these kind of, where your mind goes to places that you don't want it to, whether you like it or not. And you gotta like it because it's survival. It's getting through. It's getting past. It's overcoming, and you go there. And so that's where I'm going. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm gonna get this. It's fine. And I still have enough water. And I conserve the water. I'm gonna use it well. So and that's what I do. And I'm going, oh my God, I still have, I don't know, 20 miles. You can see the sign. There's a 45-mile sign. There's a 40-mile sign. Then there's a 24-mile sign. And I see the 24-mile sign. I'm going, oh, man, Baker's 24 miles. Oh, my God. Now it's like, I don't know, 6 o'clock? And it's still hot. As a matter of fact, it was so hot. I thought, by 6 o'clock, the heat's going to go down. I mean, 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 111 degrees. By 3 or 4 o'clock, it's going to be back to 95 or 100. By 6 o'clock, it'll be down to 85, 90. Nope. Dead wrong. And the closer I get to Baker, the hotter it is. I mean, I'm running. I'm going right from the kitchen table in a hot room. Right to the oven. I'm going right to the oven. I'm on the way. And it's like, oh, my God. I'm upset. I feel stupid. Did I plan this right? Oh, my God. And then, as I'm riding, and I said, where is this Shell station? And boom, on the horizon, there it is. I was right. There it is. Razor Road. And I go, yes. That's it. That's the one. And I get to the exit. And as soon as I saw it, and I saw it, I don't know, 5 miles away, I said, okay, now I don't have to spare the water. I can just take it and throw it because there's my salvation right there. So I take the water and I throw it. I feel right away, I feel better because part of this whole thing, everything's in your mind. Everything is in your mind. The heat's there, but I'm getting relief. You throw the water on me, you feel good for that little shot, and then you got another minute or two. You get hot again, you get started again. So now I'm relieved so much. I'm still hot, don't get me wrong, but I feel much better. Once you see, there it is, the oasis. There it is. Once you see that, you feel better. That you're still hot. Nothing's changed physically. But everything has changed. It's just it's such a small thing, but it's so big. Because you've got to apply it to everything you do in life. That moment when nothing's changed, you're still overheated, concerned. The heat is killing you, you're dehydrated. But there's the Shell station. Amazing how it gives you an instant relief. Well, within 3 or 4 minutes, there I am. I get off, pull the bike up to the pump, take off the helmet, and by now, that water's hot. So I just throw it on me. I take my cell phone, which started saying, the cell phone was hot. The cell phone was complaining to me. It was talking to me. It was like, are you crazy? Are you crazy? Get this guy out of my life. This is nuts. I go inside the little, store out, right there in the middle of no place, man. Razor Road, the middle of no place. And there's a couple of cars outside. I go inside and I go in and... And of course, it's cool, man. Oh, that's the best. I go right to the case, the cold water case with the get the Gatorade in the water. And actually, no, I just got the water. I guess I had some Gatorade in my side bag. And so I got the water And I go to the counter. There's a guy in front of me. Older guy, white hair. He looked familiar, but I didn't know him. And he's standing there with his credit card. And the gal behind the counter is, they're talking to whatever. And he goes, go ahead. He says, I got this for you. So the lady looks at me, and I'm, don't get me wrong, I had just come inside. The heat still has me, and I'm a little bit confused. I want to get my water. Let me pay. Get my water. And this guy is saying something to me. He says, yeah, I've been passing you on the road, and you've been passing me on the road, and it must be really hot out there. He says, go ahead. I got this. Whatever he was buying, I'm putting it on my car. I said, really? He goes, yeah, the girl behind. She says, yeah, drink your water. You need your water. And so I opened the water. I said, thanks, man. I really appreciate it. It was just such a nice guy. It was such a nice gesture. Again, okay, I got inside. But when somebody does something like that, it makes all the rest of it go away. For that little bit, it's like, man, what a gesture. A little bit of kindness. I mean, it was great because he was going to be at that register for another 3, 4, 5 minutes. I don't know what he was doing. Something with his credit card or whatever. And so they knew I needed that water. So yeah, I'll pay for it. I'll take it. Just go drink your water. So it was so sweet, man. It's so nice to see that. I mean, what was that? A couple of bucks? I don't know. It's not the point. The point is somebody made a gesture and I so appreciate it. It was so cool for that guy to do that. And what did I need right at that minute more than anything else? Cool, baby. That's what I needed. And that's what I got. And so anyway, I went outside and went to the bike, finished off the Gatorade, because I didn't care if it was warm or not cold. You need it for the electrolytes, and that's why I go for the Gatorade. And so, you know, knocked that off. At the same time, took the cold water and then just, again, threw it on me, drank. I think I finished the Gatorade. And I wore the bottle, and then I went inside. So I have they have the soda cases, but then they have those ice cream cases that are sitting there. So I put my cell phone in the ice cream case. Yeah, on top of the cardboard ice cream boxes. I put my cell phone in there so it would cool off, and it worked. It was like, by that time, 6:30, 6:45, something like that, and I'm going, when I get to Baker, because Baker was like, what, 13, 14 miles away from where I was, maybe a little, maybe 15. But, you know, I said, I'm not leaving Baker while that sun is still out. I'm going to wait until it's dark. I'm going to get to Baker. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to drink water. This is crazy. Taking my time. I'm not in a big rush. What's the difference if I leave at 6:45 or 6:45? I'll be standing, you know, hanging around here or hanging around there. You know, so it didn't really matter. And I'm sitting around and I'm letting my phone cool off. I took care of all that stuff. And I watched, there was one guy that came in on a Harley, on a black Road King. And he was wearing shorts, sneakers. He didn't have a shirt top on, but it looked like it was, he put it on when he pulled in. And he was a big guy, wasn't that old, like maybe in his 40s. And I mean, he was beat to hell. He gets off his bike. I look at him. He doesn't say a word. He just gets off, puts his shirt on, and sits down with his back to the wall of the gas station. And he came in, and then 5 minutes, because I must have been there for maybe a half hour, close to it, a guy comes rolling in, right after that guy comes in, on a white Indian motorcycle. On a white Indian, it looked like a Roguelite Indian. I'm not familiar with the Indians that much anymore. But comes rolling in there, wearing a black leather jacket. Full on everything, full face, and there, bam. Okay, he comes rolling in, takes his helmet off. I mean, this kid was like, he was a big, tall kid, but he couldn't have been more than 25 years old. I look at him, I go, man, you got to be hot. And he's like, oh, my God, oh, my. Yeah, he was, but he was smiling and laughing. But with a black leather jacket. And I wasn't a heavy leather jacket. Well, there's a black leather jacket. And I'm going, you got to be nuts, man. But you know what? I often see guys riding in the desert, and they're wearing full on everything. So I don't know, man. They ride everywhere. They ride all the time. They wear their leathers and the boots, the big riding boots up over your ankles. Heavy gloves. Oh, my God. I don't know how they do it. I've been doing this all my life. I swear to God, if I had made that same trip yesterday with all that garb on, I don't think I wouldn't have made it. I don't see it. I don't understand how in the world they could do that. But I'll have to get one of these guys on the podcast when I get back and talk to them and have it explain it to me, because I just can't see it. But anyway, it was kind of cool. I got back on the bike, had a fresh cold water again, get back on the bike and back on the 15. And I think, yes, I got my gas while I was at that pump, so I filled it up. I didn't wait to get the Baker. I get on the road, and then within minutes, here's the sign, 11 miles to Baker. Okay, so there's the 11-mile sign. And again, I'm spraying myself with it. It was hot. It was after 7, and it was still blazing hot. I wasn't worried about the water. I could spray as much water. I only had about 10, 15 minutes to Baker. So no biggie. 15 minutes to Baker, and I could use all the water I had. And it was like, wow, this is, you talk about living good. It was good. So I get off at Baker, pull up to the Shell station on the left. There's an overhead rooftop thing that goes out over the pumps. So I was able to pull in and put the bike in the shade. It was kind of cool. It was nice. And they had tables outside so you could be in a shady spot. You know, it's still hot, but you didn't feel the 111 degrees that you're feeling when you're in the sun. Went inside. Got my water, got my Gatorade, came outside, sat down at the table, and I said, I'm just going to wait here. I'm going to wait until it's dark, and that's what I did. And I hung out. There was a guy on a Road Glide from L.A. who was there with his wife. He came out and talked to me. He said, yeah, he said, I'm on my way to Sturgis. I said, wow. He said, yeah, I'm going to make someplace up the road in Utah. He said, tonight. Now, don't forget, this is 7:30, 20 to 8. I go, really? He goes, yep. And tomorrow I'm going to be up in Keystone. That's where we're going to keep my wife. And I got to tell you, man, 5 or 10 minutes later, he came out, saddled up. They get on their bike. It had to be 7:45. And he said, yeah, I got about another 400 miles tonight. I said, yeah, you do. And you're going to make Keystone? Yeah, I'll do that tomorrow. I'll be in Keystone tomorrow night. Wow. There are some tough guys. Nice guy, good guy to talk to, and I hope he makes it up. Would be funny to run into some of these people in Sturgis. But anyway, I hung out there for until it got dark, the half hour, 45 minutes. It gets, the sun is down. I got my fresh water. Everything's fine. I'm feeling good. Get back on the bike, get on the road. It was hot, but it was nice. It was so nice. And I didn't have any issues. It's about 91, 92 miles when you get back on the road to Baker when you're in Vegas. And I didn't stop. I mean, usually you stop at the state line, you gas up, get a cup of coffee, you go, but it's only about 50 miles from Baker, and I didn't have to stop. It was great. Everything was behind me, all the heat and the concern and the craziness. So I went on. I'm staying at New York. I got in about 9:30, get to the room, get all checked in. My buddy Tommy took good care of me. I mean, I've been friends with this guy here at the hotel for, I don't know how many years, 20, 25 years. Great guy. He's just a great friend. We're going to go out to dinner tonight, which I hadn't planned on, because I said, Tommy, I'm out of here in the morning, buddy. He goes, really? He said, well, Mike, if you stay in here tomorrow night, I got friends coming in from Idaho. I got, and he's friendly with all these special ops guys who teach all kinds of tactical training. And I've met his friends before. So he says, yeah, if stay over. If you're going to stay over, we can have dinner and all that. So I get in. I'm in the hotel. I get something to eat. I calm down, cool down, shower. Oh, my God. Did I have to shower? Sometimes there are things that just take precedent over everything else. I might have been hot. I might have been hungry. But mostly I was dirty. The grime from the heat, it gets you. I got in that shower. Oh, my God. Felt so good. And that's the good part. And when, once you get it done, it's like, I did that. I got through it. It was great, and here I am. But then I thought about it. Yeah, I was hanging out last night and having a nice time. Got to sleep a little late, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I'm going to treat myself to relaxing tomorrow. Maybe I'll do the same thing. I'll wait till the afternoon. And I spoke to Petrina today when I got up this morning. And she said, honey, why don't you just stay there and leave it like 5 in the morning? Then you can make it all the way up to Park City, all the way to, you know, Evanston, Wyoming. It won't be a problem. If you leave at 5:30, you'll be past St. George, past Hurricane, 9:30, 10 o'clock, and then it starts to cool down. I said, honey, you're absolutely right. So that's the game plan. And yeah, just enjoying it. I'm not going to take the scenic route. I love going to Sturgis on the 70 through Utah into Colorado. And I love to get to Grand Junction. And I spoke to Scott Lindsay. He owns Grand Junction Harley. And I said, Scott, I heard 70 is closed. Going to the, he says, yeah, but why do you care about that? I'm going to Sturgis. I'm going to go 70 over them. He goes, Mike, if you're going to Sturgis, just go, you know, past Grand Junction, go to Rifle, and then go north to Steamboat Springs. And that's the way to go. You don't have to worry about 70. And I said, that's a good idea. And I am flirting with it. Don't get me wrong. Because you just never know. But I think because, you know, I'm going to wait here all day. It's like losing a day. And this way, if I just follow my GPS and go straight up to 80, take 80 to Rawlins, Cheyenne, which I would normally go to. But if I go left at Rawlins and then go north out of there, I'll hit the 90 and go straight in. Yeah, it's not scenic. It's not two-lane twisties. But you know what? It's quick, fast, down, and dirty. But then again, see what happens. You go through the ride. Now, I'm not tied to anything. Wherever my, you know, my handlebars are up facing, wherever they're headed, that's where I'm going. And I've got the right, man. I got the right to change my mind and change directions anytime I want. And I could do that. So I'm just telling you, this is what I'm thinking, because I'm a little bit gun shy after that experience yesterday. I don't know if I communicated it well enough so you understand how horrifying it is to be out there in that heat. But it is. And even though now I could laugh, look back on it and go, whoa. But still, in my head, I'm still thinking, let me just get there. It's kind of funny because I know, even as I'm saying this, when I get to the 70, I just might turn off, head to Grand Junction, and then get to Rifle and go north and go to Steamboat and whatever. I don't know what that shortcut is. You know why? Because we don't use maps enough. All I've got is my GPS, which is fine. You could use the GPS. It's kind of cool. It's great, as a matter of fact. It's more than just cool. It's an invaluable tool that it's okay to be dependent on, because you'd be silly not to, because we have it, right? At the same time, a good old-fashioned map lets you a look at the whole thing from 10,000 feet up. You know, you can look down at the map and go, oh, yeah, look at that. So not having that, I can't visualize what Scott was telling me. But I'm either going to get a map, or I'm going to go straight up and follow the GPS, or I'm going to wing it and just say, okay, let me get out there and take Scott's direction. Because he said it's an enjoyable ride. Because he lives there. He said, Mike, I go to Sturgis. I go north of Rifle. He says, I don't have any reason to take the 70. So that's the way I might go. Listen, I wanted to give you a bird's eye view. I hope I did a decent job, because I was thinking yesterday, oh my God, if I do this so others don't have to. It worked out fine. Here I am, sitting in a cool room in Vegas, trying to figure out how to get through the day until Tommy comes to work and his buddies come in and we're all going to have dinner in Gallagher's. Life stuff, right? No complaints. I am rolling right. Let me tell you, I am rolling right. And again, this is how you go to Sturgis if you're New York Mike. And that's who I am. Thanks for riding with me. And we'll see you on the next podcast, hopefully from the Buffalo Chip. Thanks for listening to Roll Right Radio. Don't forget, tell your friends, tell everyone, subscribe. Thanks for being there. Appreciate it. See ya.